Rock and roll has got to go. And go it does at KWK. We're all through playing rock and roll records. This week is record-breaking week here at KWK. And after this week, no more rock and roll will be played on the air. This will give us the ability to program to the largest mass audience. Teenagers, adults, all will enjoy the new sound on KWK.
Hello.
Okay. Can you imagine? That just happened to be on that. By the way, that song was called Harlem Nocturne by the Viscounts, and it was a pretty big hit record. That version of Harlem Nocturne, because it's an old song, you know, but it was brought back by the Viscounts. It's a cool tune, you know. It was like one of those tunes that I used to wake up in the middle of the night, you flip the radio on, and they'd be playing it, you know. And then you heard those guys. I don't know what record we pulled that off of. It must have been some retrospective where they threw in some, you know, things, but extra special things. But this is my beret wearing day, man. But the fucking thing is kind of nasty. From where was this laying in, like a pile of laundry or something? So. Anyway, the Viscounts did that song, and it kicked ass, man, didn't it? I loved it so much. The Viscounts and a beautiful thing they called Harlem Nocturne. Well, we're back, and had a blast at the Wynn in Vegas. Right now, hands down, in my opinion, the greatest hotel in Vegas. I don't know. You know, I'm not a big gambler. That's why Vegas is never really a destination for me. I do play cards, but I'm not. I don't have my manhood tied up in it like a lot of guys. Excuse me, I shouldn't say this, but a lot of guys have their fucking balls in their card game, you know, like, whatever, man, I don't give a shit. You know, most of these cats are losing their fucking shorts. So, it's true. 90% of everybody that gambles, probably more, is a fucking loser. So, I don't know what they think they're proving, but so I don't have my dick and my balls wrapped up in my fucking gambling. You know, I play the horses very rarely. I play poker even more rarely. But I enjoy it every time I do it because I have the money to lose, period, plain and simple. Some people say, well, there's no point in gambling. Why would you gamble if you're going to lose? Why would I gamble if I'm going to lose? I don't know, man. Why would I lay in the sun if I'm going to get a fucking sunburn? Life... Yeah, sometimes it isn't about the losing the money. Maybe it's about the odd chance that you'll win, you know, the rare chance that you'll win. So I don't really give a shit about that, but I do enjoy Las Vegas. The other things that Vegas has to offer as well, I like going through the casino. I'm not a big slot machine guy. To me, that's about as fucking dull as it gets. I can't, you know... I don't know why anybody would want to do that, but I don't understand why people do half the shit they do anyway. So, you know, whatever. But I do like drinking and the other things that one might do in Vegas. You know, I'll never forget Neil Rogers, one of the great, truly one of the great retorts he had on air to some caller who said, well, what else do you do in Vegas? Because Neil always touted Vegas, loved to go to Vegas, was constantly flying to Vegas, and was always promoting Vegas. He said, you gamble and you go see a show and you get laid and you get drunk. Well, what else is there to do? And Neil's like, let's see, gambling, getting laid, and having a good time, and that's not enough for you, man. I don't know what else to tell you. Maybe that's. Maybe that's not up your alley, you know, but it tends to be up the alley of most people. So anyway, I had a great time in Las Vegas. I saw my cousins, Fran and Elaine. And for me, that's a lot of fun because, you know, man, they're family, you know, and I haven't seen them in a long fucking time, man. And like I said, our little Henry family and the Hare side of the family, Hare, it's getting, you know, smaller, man. You know, the grandparents are all gone. And we've had some family you know, some family tragedies where we've lost some people. You know, it happens. It's fucked up. I certainly wouldn't want to be the direct parent of one or of those kids, but we all kind of get it. And seeing those guys was fun, and they brought along their friend Danielle, and so we went to, you know, they were at the Wynn as well, and I went out to the pool, and they said to me, this level that I was on, I got to the Wynn, and it wasn't that I got a half bad room to begin with, but they upgraded my ass as soon as I got there. I was like, well, Mr. Hendry, we have this large fucking suite, man. I put pictures of it with, you know, like, yeah, it's really fucked up to be, you know, to be here in Vegas and all this shit. But anyway, so with that suite, I got access to the, oh, I know, it was the Tower Suites over there at the Wynn. So you have the pool. They got their own little pool there. So Franny and Elaine and those guys, they somehow make their way in there. Just some guy opened the door for them, like, ladies, you know, and so they walk in. And so I had the girls with me there, and I'm thinking, well, look, you know, they're from Canada. And Franny's great line the night before was, you know, let's get to Phil's pool at 10 before it gets hot, you know. So it's fucking before it gets hot. It was 91 degrees at 10 a.m. So we got out there. I said to the guy, I said, have you got any cabanas? He said, yeah, we do. And I said, well, can we rent a cabana all day? And he said, yeah. So I got them the cabana. They were in fucking heaven, man, because you get, you know, there's a widescreen TV, and they got to watch the U.S. Open because they're golf fans, and the mister, they turned the mist on, and they got the fan going. They got fucking food and booze coming in left and right, man. I got myself a bucket of Heinekens, and then I ordered a pitcher of margaritas, you know, and they were drinking Bloody Mary. It was it was fucking hysterical, man. It was pretty cool. It was fun. So what are you going to do? You know, I mean, and then I took them out to dinner. When the fuck did I take them out? Saturday night. What's today, Monday? Yeah, we went out to dinner Saturday night. And they're going to be winging their way back to Canada. Oh, shit, I got to turn this off, man. Goodbye, I'll talk to you guys at 9 o'clock. Bye. Forgot to turn off the feed for my BSPs. Well, that's okay, I didn't get any BSP information just yet. The BSP information that I do have for you. First of all, we're going to have a BSP-a-thon. I'm going to be announcing the living shit out of this on the show. We're going to have a BSP-a-thon starting at noon on Friday. See, am I right about that? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Starting at noon on Friday, we're going to be rolling 12 solid hours of archive material, of website material, of all kinds of different Phil Hendry Show incarnations, you know, classic podcasts. It's all going to be running, and it's all going to be for free as we sort of turn on to, you know, turn the non-subscribers on to some of the stuff we have in the content. So that's going to be a BSP-a-thon starting at noon on Friday, 12 hours of solid and free Phil Hendry archive material. Available at our Listen Live line right here at philhenryshow.com. So you just go to the audio Listen Live line. Excuse me for being so fucking yawning here, man. I was probably, you know, you guys, not helping you out, but Jesus, I'm just getting back in the swing of this motherfucker today. Also, we know that we are going to have our second one-man show. We're going to go back to the Hollywood Improv at the end of July. This is all in anticipation of finally making it down to Irvine to play the big show in Irvine. But we're going to do another Phil Hendry Improv show at the Hollywood Improv, and that's going to be on the at the end of July. When we get those dates, we'll give them to you. I'll give them to you first here, my BSPs, so you can hit up the Hollywood Improv. And I'll give my BSPs like a heads up, you know, of maybe a day, 24 hours. This is this fucking part of my mustache that always gets just fucked up. And I don't know why. No matter how closely or carefully I trim it, it grows to a place where it drives me nuts. I guess it's time to get the old mustache trimmed. So the second go-round of the Phil Henry one-man show is to be called Truth is Our Bitch, The World of Phil Henry. The World of Phil Henry, Truth is Our Bitch. Yes, that's it. The World of Phil Henry, Truth is Our Bitch. And that will be forthcoming. And see what else I can put on the screen there. If I was some dick brain that, you know, was like Mr. Tea Party Asshole, this is what I'd have behind me. Sorry. And I should say Tea Party Asshole because I know it offends so many people, but... Oh, God, man. Unreal. This motherfucker. I don't know who the fuck is pissing me off more now. These fucking left-wing motherfuckers who are starting to re-tout how right they were about Iraq. What do you mean how right you were, motherfucker? There's a fucking nascent democracy that's on the edge that we could be helping out. But instead, you pricks are happy either with Saddam Hussein or this shit. And don't get me, you know, if you scratch those dumb motherfuckers deep enough, here's what you get. A bunch of cocksuckers that talk about how, well, at least Saddam Hussein had everything under control. Well, great. At least he was torturing and maiming and arming terrorists. And it didn't seem to be harming us. And we don't have any direct connection. And this and that and some other shit. And forget about the Gulf War. I mean, the dumb there doesn't even fucking end. And then we have on the right, we have the Tea Party people who are as fucking inept, and that's being kind. They are the most obstructionist pieces of shit. If I ever fucking see one, if I ever walk up to a guy and he identifies himself as Tea Party, I'm afraid I'm going to fucking have to go to jail. I swear to God, I'm not kidding. If he opens his motherfucking mouth to me about anything having to do with the Tea Party, I'll go to fucking jail. And, you know, I'm 62, 61, 62. Please don't make the mistake. One of the things about... I know this much about street fighting. This is, you go into the fight prepared to at least render the guy in a coma, if not dead. Now, I know that that sounds fucked, but that's exactly the goal of getting into a physical confrontation. It's to come close to or absolutely kill the other person. There's none of this bullshit about how you're going to knock him out and walk away and put your shirt on and he's going to get up and shake his head and go, wow, that guy was really tough. That's TV. The real world is you kill the motherfucker. You know, and if I get pissed and if somebody backs me into a fucking corner like that, I guarantee you a good 50% of the motherfuckers in this goddamn world that I would encounter and have a physical confrontation with, I would fucking put away. I put him either in a hospital bed or in a fucking box. Now, that's just I know myself that well, and I know my life that well, okay? The other half, I'd probably wind up getting killed myself. And that's coming from a guy that's 61. Because, frankly, the world's loaded with fucking pussies. I mean, it's loaded with a lot of people like this. But when push comes to fucking shove... Now, I understand that that's not the goal, and we don't want our kids to get that mess. I get that shit, okay? Just don't fucking... Please, don't piss me off. Please. Don't fucking... You know full well when you're saying something to somebody who's going to make them angry. Angry enough to fucking start swinging on you. You know that. These are like these white people who want to use the N-word. They know full well that that would have a violent reaction to some people. You have to be prepared to have your fucking teeth knocked through the back of your head if you use that word around black people. If you are not prepared for that, if you think you can go crying to somebody like Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck and tell them how fucking unfair it all is that you couldn't call some black guy nigger, you know, have at it. Because those two motherfuckers, as much as I, you know, respect, well, Rush and you know, and Glenn, although... Glenn kind of learned a lot of his tricks from me. But anyway, I'm kidding. Well, not really, but, you know, most of his fucking fans would feel that was sacrilegious for me to even say anything like that. But anyway, you know, you can't... You go crying to those motherfuckers. They're in the same goddamn boat as you. You know. They would just be outraged and upset and... because it's free speech, isn't it? All right. That's just the kind of mood that I got into when I realized, when I, you know, and that's why I have sworn off doing any commenting on that shit on the show or even on Facebook or Twitter. I really hold back because it's all lost in the noise anyway, you know, and I just as soon kind of rise above. I made that mistake once before. I'm not going to make that mistake again. You know, some people, you know, thought it was cool that I did political commentary. It was the biggest fucking mistake I made for this show. But whatever, you know, you're always going to make mistakes. So that's not anything that should be a, you know, oh my God, I made a mistake. You know, of course, I mean, you try things, you do things, and some things are right, some things are wrong, you know, but, you know, you do what you do, man.
You do what you do.
Now, today, we had a great response to Dr. Ed Elcott. Good morning, this is Dr. Edward Elcott, and this is Elcott, the next step. And today, I don't know if we'll do Dr. Elcott again today or not. Maybe we'll have him on the program.
Well, I'm very happy. I had a great time. Filling in on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, we're happy to have you.
Well, I was happy to be there, and I know that my philosophy is a strange one, and involves quite a bit of faith.
Well, Dr. Elcott, I heard you say that your ego is so, you have to shrink the ego down to nothing.
That's what you have to do.
That's right, Dr. Elcott's philosophy, which is, Dr. Elcott's philosophy, which is shrinking the ego to the smallest possible size. To the smallest possible size.
Expecting nothing in return, just for you to have a...
Shut the fuck up. Is that John Hyatt? Jesus. Get that shit out of here, will you?
I'm just sitting in the studio just trying to get to you, babe.
Hear that in a second. That's Quiet Riot. That was back in the day when everybody had to go, yay! Like Roger Daltrey, you know. Everything was, yay! There's a band called Volume.
Replace you with another thread. Take one.
Sorry to bother you. I was just that's Volumes. And they're a hometown band. They're from Los Angeles. In fact, they're going to be at the Seaside Park in Ventura next week. This is fucking genius! This fucking mustache. God damn. Why don't I just clean shave the motherfucker? I don't give a shit anymore. Goddamn fucking mustache, man. That bullshit. You always have... Well, I shouldn't say, but girls are always telling you to trim it down. Because it, well, I'm sure you understand.
Ooh, could you trim that down?
Well, I'm sure you understand what I mean, you know. God damn it. Because I got no fear, you see what I'm saying? You know, I got no... God, I'm gonna... Well, fuck it. All right, so what did I tell you guys? All right, so we have coming up on Friday starting at noon, we will have our BSP-a-thon. That sucker's going to be going full tilt boogie. God damn it, man. Just take some fucking scissors to the motherfucker, you know, after I get off the air. I don't have any time for the shit now. And then we are definitely on for another one-man show. I told you a little bit about Vegas. You know, I drove to and fro. It's interesting driving to Vegas from where I live, which is the Ventura County area. You go out the 126. Yeah. I get all that shit. And you go to the 5. Now, you got to go to the 15. The only way to the 15 is to go south on the 5 to Antelope Valley. And you take the Antelope Valley Freeway all the way out to Pear Blossom Highway, and you got to cut across Pear Blossom Highway. So you're basically on two lanes of really shitty asphalt for, you know, 30 miles between the 5 and the 15, and then you hook onto the 15. The 15 doesn't catch on. The 15 does not... run into another interstate, I don't think, until you get to the San Bernardino. Am I right about that? I could be wrong. Fuck, I don't know, man. I haven't looked at a map. You know, all I did was just... Because I hadn't been to Vegas since I moved to where I'm moving. Hadn't driven there, you know. So, this is great, man. I'm so happy that I now, in the morning, I have it on the Word Network, and I have it on some fucking Catholic network. EWTN, what is that? Every with the N-word? Even where the N. So, Iraq government loses control of another key city. I ain't gonna talk about none of that shit, man. This fucking stuff drives me crazy. Spurs' fifth title elevates them among the greats. All right. Starbucks program offers college students more than a coffee break. Do I have to buy a subscription to the Christian Science Monitor?
You know, yes, I do. I certainly understand that. I'm in the subscription business myself, but I can't do that right now because I'm on the air. There's one here from WFAA, Dallas.
Right here.
Well, you know,
Tony Gwynn is dead. Holy Christ. When and how did that happen? Tony Gwynn dies at 54. Padres great Tony Gwynn, who amassed 3,141 hits during a half of Hall of Fame career, the who died Monday at the age of 54. Well, okay. He'd been on medical leave since late March while recovering from cancer treatment. He took over the program at his alma mater in San Diego State. He was the baseball coach at San Diego State. He'd signed a one-year extension on June the 11th. Good Lord. He'd been on a medical leave since late March. Gwynn had a special bond with fellow Southern California slugger and Red Sox legend Ted Williams. When I was a kid, my dad used to buy me the Ted Williams glove at Sears with the Ted Williams shoes with the eight stripes on them. I used to play Little League, and I was Ted Williams'd out. I had to go find out about Ted Williams. Ted Williams is one of the best hitters ever to play the game, and I didn't get a chance to see him play, so all I could do was read books and look at pictures. Gwynn and Williams first met at the 1992 All-Star Game in San Diego. I always felt like since the All-Star Game in 92, the first time I met him, I was a much better hitter from that point on. Those 8, 9 years after that, I was a much better hitter than I was my first 10 or 11. That's something. Gwynn helped escort Williams on the field at Fenway. God, that's a story, man. But Tony Gwynn was one holy hell of a hitter. I'm telling you, if you never saw this cat play baseball, you missed something special. He was a consistent on-base player. I mean, just about all the fucking time. What was his on-base average? He had a career 338 batting. Career 338. 8 National League batting titles. He was primarily a singles hitter, but in 1987, his career was winding down. In 1997, Gwynn showed his power when he hit a career-high 17 homers to go with 119 RBIs. Well, you know, getting on base is the name of the fucking game, man. Getting on base was the name of the game, and I remember games with Tony Gwynn in the San Diego uniform coming up against the Dodgers. That goddamn every fucking time this guy had extend the game one more out, fuck up something, extend a rally by the Padres. And, you know, they made it to the World Series with Tony Gwynn in... the Padres were in the series in 84 against Detroit. Jesus, I can't remember the time. San Diego has not had the greatest run as a baseball team, but there is Mark McGuire there in the Cardinal uniform. Ted Williams. What year is this? 99? Assisted him throwing out the first pitch. Gonna love you, man. Tony, I'm stunned. He's younger than me. 54. How about that? Well, such is life. Such is life. Maybe, Tony, because I do believe in reincarnation, maybe you'll come back as a football player. Or maybe you'll come back as a president. Maybe you'll come back as a talk show host. Maybe you'll come back as something important. How about that? Like you you were important in this life, but something really important, like maybe you'll be an explorer. Maybe you'll be a great explorer, you know, like, ooh, look, there's my hand. Maybe you'll be a great explorer, Tony. 9:02, I gotta get going. I'm late. I am late. Excuse me. Hello to all of my tune-in and to all of my Listen Live listeners. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's time now for the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.